And thank you for that words of welcome. And also, we are glad that Grace and myself could come here and meet with our dear ones in North Carolina, and also having fellowship with the God children in this place. And I'll be sharing from the Word of God for 10-15 minutes. Then we will see the presentation of our work in a slide projector. And that is what I am intending to do. And once again, my sincere gratitude for giving this opportunity to us. I like to study characters in the Bible. You know, Old Testament, there are many people mentioned and their characters in New Testament. And this evening, I would like to study a bit about Samson along with you. Please turn with me to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13, the last two verses. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Mahane Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So we read about the miraculous birth of Samson in this verse. And let us go over to chapter 16, verse 16, verse 30. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. In chapter 13, we read about his birth. And 16, we read about his end, how he ended up. In chapter 13, we read he was a blessed boy, blessed of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God started to stir within himself. And with all the blessings, you know, here we see a tragic end to his life. Samson means distinguished. He is very special. And he was the last judge of the Jewish people. He was physically very strong, and he was distinguished for his strength as well as for failure. And he was a man full of contrast, physically strong but morally weak. And we read about his beginning. It was a miraculous birth, a wonderful growth and strength, and he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he did many things. But we read about his end. He was not conscious of his weakness. And he was blinded by sin and became a slave. He was born free. Now he became slave to sin and many other things. And why did he lose these wonderful blessings in his life? That is what I wanted to deal with. What made him to lose all these blessings God gave him in his life? Number one, he lacked discernment. His parents gave him many advice, and the Lord gave him a vision, and he was told to lead a system to follow, and he was a Nazarene. He was not allowed to cut his hair, and he was not allowed to drink alcohol and many other things. He had to keep a diet, and not only that, he has to have a greater vision given to him from God. You know, like Solomon, when he was asked by God, he asked for discernment. He did not ask for money or wealth, but he asked for discernment to lead these people. So that kind of discernment was given to Samson, but he didn't care for that. And also, he lacked spiritual insight. He was empowered by the Spirit of God, but he lacked spiritual insight because of pride, because he didn't worship God, and also because of his anger and revenge. All this characterized his failure, and also we see him, he could not distinguish between good and profitable. Many things are good, but they are not profitable. So he could not discern between good and profitable. And when was he angry? When his ego was not met, he was very angry. You know, I don't have time to tell all the story, but when the Philistines, you know, came and he was in the house of Delilah, and they came, and he told the secret of his strength, so they cut his hair, and he thought that he can come out like before. He did not know that the Spirit of God had left him. So he got very angry, and he went and destroyed their field, the rice field or wheat field, and all those things because of anger. But he was angry with everything except sin. He lived in sin, but he was not angry with that, but he was angry with everything else. We should know that enemy will not play according to the rules. He forgot that enemy will not play according to the rules. And in chapter 14, verse 1, we read about him. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." His father and mother replied, "Is in there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" You know, they said, "Don't you have somebody who is acceptable in the community? Why do you go outside our community, and why do you want to get married to an uncircumcised people woman?" But he never listened to the advice of his parents. So he never addressed his failure. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32, we read like this. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32. "But a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whosoever does so destroys himself." He never addressed his failure. You know, Peter, the disciple of Jesus Christ, when he denied Jesus Christ, he accepted his failure and he repented and he renunciated sin and he got reconciled with Jesus Christ and he, you know, received forgiveness from the Lord for committing that mistake. But here we read about Samson. He never addressed his failure. And he forgot to deal with sin ruthlessly and deal with sin and get it away completely. We should not leave any roots of bitterness, any roots of sin. We have to deal with it harshly. But Samson failed to do so. And Samson was warned by his parents, but he never repented. He never came back. He said, "It's all right, I can handle it. I know how to deal with it." And that was his attitude. He refused to listen. He never took advice from anyone else. And we see that Solomon listened to his advice, his elders, and he increased in wisdom. But Samson never did that. We read about David. He also consulted leaders and he made transformation in his life. And we ought to listen to mature people, people who are experienced in the world, and people who have good track record, and people who love us. You know, people are ready to give us advice, but we are not willing to listen to them. So we need to be willing listeners to our parents, to the church elders, and whoever loves us, you know, they don't give us advices that will harm us. But all these advices were given to him, but Samson failed to take that. So here we see that he was a man of strength, but he was very proud of that. And pride was the reason, one of the reasons for his failure in life. And also, not only that, he discarded the boundaries set by God. God has set us boundaries, how far we can go. And we should be within that boundary. Then only we can be available to God and useful to God. You know, you heard like this. We tell the children, "Don't. No, don't do it." Little children, we say, "Don't." They understand. Am I right? And we tell to our teenagers, "Don't stay out too late at night. Come home early." And we say to the married, "Be faithful to one another," or "Don't be unfaithful to the spouse." And we give advice to the old people, the old age. We say, "Don't overeat." That is advice. So there are, you know, boundaries set for us. But sometimes we neglect. Sometimes we think we can handle it. Sometimes, you know, we are very confident that we can handle it. But rules are given for our good, to protect us. You know, in America, if there is no traffic rule, what will happen? So many collisions, so many accidents will happen. People follow the rules and we are safe on the road. That is why rules are given. It builds us up, It makes us a better person and a useful person if we follow the rules. But Samson was not willing to play according to the rules. And temptation took over his character, and he forgot the boundaries. You know, because we think that once I have gone out of the boundary, nobody knew. Then it becomes a practice to go occasionally cross the boundary. Then secretly cross the boundary. But it becomes a habit, and you will never know where is the boundary line. So that is happening to the human beings. So Samson had failed in his life, and he wouldn't make it what God intended for him. He had a miraculous birth, but he didn't make it because he didn't play according to the rules. And we are called out to be faithful to our God, faithful to our community, faithful to whomever we deal with. And we are called to be good steward of what is given to us from God. You know, being gifted need not be spiritual. We have talents, we are gifted to do many things. That doesn't mean we are spiritual. But gifted, and if we are not controlled by the Spirit of God, our gift is no good. God, Jesus Christ, gives us all. We have all some abilities. We have some talents. But it should be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Samson started out well. He didn't finish well. Many people fail in their Christian life because they have no time to read Bible. They have no time to pray. They have no time to worship. You know, they are taken up with their own things. Their motive is not to please God, but their motive is to please their egoism, what they want without God. So we need to check our motives, our intention in life. What do we want to do? You know, some of us haven't thought about it, but it is time we think about it. What do I do with my life? Whose motives am I fulfilling? Is it my own desire? Is it what God desires in my life? It is time we check our motives. So let me say that points once again. Samson was a great man, but he lacked discernment. And then the second point, we saw that he never addressed his failures. He said it's human, you know, committing mistake. We also say that. Who doesn't commit mistake? Who doesn't commit sin? So it is normal for human being. But we need to learn to repent and give up sin in our life. Repentance and renunciation and reconciliation with God. That is God's way of doing things. And thirdly, Samson refused to listen to anybody. He wanted to do everything by himself, and that was one of his failures. And he discarded the boundaries set by God. And that's why he failed in his life and ended up with a tragic end. So we need to take it into consideration. And I ask myself and all of us to check our motives. What for we are living? Is it for to gain the worldly wealth or wisdom? But it is all necessary. I am not saying that we should not have houses, wealth, things like that. We need that. But our motive within us, God knows. And we need to check our motives. May God continue to minister to our hearts through these words. And now we will look into the slides. It's a ministry among Halba. It is in central part of India. We will come to that later on. And these are the people. They look like this. And mainly ladies. They come in the market. And most of the women and men, they drink. So they have disposable cups like you have here, but it is made of leaves. And you can see in the woman sitting in front drinking alcohol and other drinks made out of rice. And delicious red and chutney. You might have not eaten that. We have tasted it. And still we continue to eat that. It is very delicious. You know, somewhere in the world, someone is eating what is made by God. In Philippines, they eat many things which we don't like to eat. So, it is happening everywhere, you know. Snake eaters and we have the honeybee. You know, people eat that. So, Bastar, in our area, this is a delicacy. And if you want to get it, you have to go very early to the farmer's market. Otherwise, you won't get it. So, they think that it is very good for your digestion. And also, you know, it is good for getting rid of the gas and so on. And this is a village market, in the evening, just in that village. People have something to sell. They come to the market like papaya and so on. And this is a beautiful waterfall in our area. It's called Chitrakoot. And you can see this lot of water. And it is the Niagara of Chhattisgarh. And here you can see more, you know, so much of water, and many tourists come to see this waterfall. And this is another waterfall during summer, and this is called Thirathgarh. And how would you like to travel like this? You know, we have to hang on to the vehicle, sit on top, along with your suitcase and luggage or whatever you have. And even women get on top of the jeep and load their things. And, you know, it is not very pleasant to travel, but they don't know anything else. They have no other options, so they are happy with what they have. Here we have so many options, so we think it is not right. But they don't have any other options, so they are happy with the way they go. And this community, mainly they are rice eaters, and they replant rice, and also there are corn and ginger and other things. And this the map of India, and where it is that colored, that is Chhattisgarh, that is in the central part of India. And this is the map of Chhattisgarh, and carved out of India. And this state was formed in 2000. Before that, it was part of Madhya Pradesh. And this is the district, the area we work in. Most of the tribal people live here. You know, some statistics are given there, like area, population, and tehsil means like sub-district, and towns, villages. There are 1,461 villages there, and the percentage of tribals is 78%. So it is predominantly a tribal area, and we work among these people. And as I said before, the people group are known as Halba, H-A-L-B-A, and their language is called H-A-L-B-I, Halbi. And we are involved in Bible translation. And how do we do Bible translation? It is a long story, but I will try to explain to you in few words. You know, here you can see the translation team. Grace, Varvi, Pravindra, Raitu, and Jagannath. These four people are mother tongue speakers of Halbi. They are from the villages. And three of them are Christians, and one of them, right in the middle, he is not a Christian. We engage him because Christians understand many things because of their background. Non-Christians, we have to explain everything. You know, it is so common, like us, John 3:16. So what is John 3:16? Please explain. Who is John? What is John or who is John? What is 3? Chapter 3. What is 16? Verse 16. How do you know that? If you hear for the first time, how do you feel? Because of our background, we know. It is, even we know it is in New Testament, John. We don't look for him in Old Testament, isn't it? So John is the writer of the gospel, and 3 is the chapter number, and 16 is verse number. So all these have to be explained to the people because they have no Christian background. They are hearing all these things for the first time. You know, very reasonably educated school teachers are there. So we give them gospel. So they say, why do you put number in between? So do we have to read the number or leave it? You know, so we tell them, you know, okay, this is words, what is words? So they have no Christian background. Therefore, we need to explain everything what we take it for granted. So it makes a lot more laborious to give the translate the Bible into their languages. And after we do the first draft, you know, then we take it to the villages and read it out to people. And they come to us, then we ask them questions whether they understood it or not. And if they cannot answer our questions, there is something wrong. It may be the grammar, it may be the sentence structure, or it may be the tense, you know, something like that. So we have to find out, and we do a research on that, and we find out. And after doing all this procedure, we call the local pastors and give them printout of what we have translated and let them read it and come up with their suggestions. So we sit and discuss verse by verse and come up with, you know, problems. Say, for example, like priest. What do you understand by priest? We understand by priest. Or a pastor. What do we understand? For his mind, priest
He is the village priest, a Hindu priest, who is performing puja, burning incense, and doing witchcraft, so on. That is his concept in his mind. But when we translate, we are not talking about that kind of priest. Then how do you tell him what our priest does? So we had to add something there, you know, a Jewish priest, not simply priest, to make them understand it is not their priest, it is a Jewish priest. Still it is not clear, so we have to educate them. We have to tell them what a Jewish priest does. Some of their functions are common. You know, Jewish priest also offered sacrifice. Here the priest also offered sacrifice to idols. So certain functions are common, but certain functions are different. So we need to educate them what their priest does and what a Jewish priest does. And after that, we have to have a back translation of what we have done in Halbi. Back translation into English. And then a consultant from Wycliffe Bible Translators come to us and check our translation. Here you can see in the left, Dr. Warren Glover from Australia came into our place and checking our translation with the pastors and language helpers and many others. So we give him a literal translation of Halbi. What is that Halbi word? Word-to-word translation in English. Then he checked with the Greek and Hebrew or whatever biblical languages are there. And if there is some, you know, errors, something not right, he will discuss with us and we get it corrected. And after that only it is published. And these are some of the books we have in this language. Good News for You and Gospel of John and many other books we have translated. And in the right corner you see a mosquito. So it is not part of the Bible. But we produce for them literature or health awareness books. So mosquitoes spread what kind of sickness? What kind of sickness? Malaria. So this is a health awareness book published in this language for government, health department. And the government pay all the expenses for getting it done. And these people have lot of superstitions. When you get malaria, what are the symptoms of malaria? It is not common here, isn't it? Malaria. Pardon? Fever. And if you get high fever, what happens? Shivering. Okay. When a person is shivering, they think that he is possessed by evil spirits. That's why he is shivering. So immediately they take him to a shaman. And he will do something. It is not reducing, no getting not better. Finally, when it is so serious, they take to the doctor. And sometimes the doctors also cannot help them. They die. And the shaman will say, see, you have taken to the doctor, that's why your patient died. You should have kept here. So, because of their superstitions, like diarrhea, many superstitions are there. So we help them to understand it is not like that. And here we have Heart of Man, After Death What, Story of Creation. Many books we have printed and given to them. And July, recently we have published two books. I have a copy of Hebrews here. This is the Epistle of Hebrews. And also we have published a book of Revelation. So two books were published in July. And Dr. Warren Glover was the person who dedicated. And also for these people, we have published a dictionary. This is the first effort in this language. And this dictionary is a triglot in Halbi, in Hindi and English. So this has only 7,000 entries, and we are working on it to update it, and the second edition will come out soon. And this is the church, the assembly hall we have in Tokapal, and we have children to take care of. We will tell about that later. And we had few baptisms in our church, and about 20 believers are there now taking part of Lord's Supper. And this a group of people going out to for baptism, and the background you can see a village church. And as the ministry of the church, we conduct VBS, and we can see so many children in our VBS. And this is the children's program we have, Tokapal Child Development Center. In this project, we have 284 children, and the outcome we expect from the children is spiritual, physical, educational, and social. You know, we are looking for fourfold development in their lives. And most of these children, they come from non-Christian background. So we get an agreement from their parents. They don't oppose to teaching them from Bible lessons. And also we make the parents and the village people aware of the children's right given in the constitution. Children have a right to survive, right to protection, right to participation, right to development. So we are educating even the parents to send their children to school. And here you can see the children in our project. They are praying. And this is the children standing in queue for their morning meal. And in our area, they have two meals a day. They don't have breakfast like here. About 10:30, they will have morning meal, means rice and lentil and some other vegetables. Evening, about 7, they will have their second meal. That is also again rice and curry. The morning they will have rice and curry. Evening they will have curry and rice. That's all the difference. So this is a TCDC, means Tokapal Child Development Center campus. This is the church end of it on the right side. And you can see at the far end another building. And these are the staff working there. We have 21 staff taking care of the children. Some of them are cooks. Some of them child development workers. There is a manager and two social workers. So if the child is absent for consecutive 3 days, the social worker will visit their homes and find out why they are not coming. And if they are sick, they will take them to the hospital and treat them, and all their medical expenses are met by the project. And also, we distribute many things which are necessary for the children, like hygiene and also buckets, school books, uniforms. Everything is given to these children from the center. And they are also trained in sports and games. Our children when for a cricket test and they won and they are very happy to get the medal. And also we take them to get exposed to the outside world. You know, they have never gone out of their villages. So we take them to nearest towns, and here we took them to a reservoir and educate them, you know, what is the use of a reservoir and why do you store water, you know, like that we expose them to the outside world. And also we have so much celebration in our project, like Indian Independence Day that falls on August 15, and also Republic Day, and many other festivals India celebrates. So those days we have function in our center. And also we give special care for their spiritual needs. Every day we have devotion for the children in the center. And also we teach them Bible stories and help them to memorize Bible verses. And also they will color, you know, Bible story pictures. And grown-up children will draw pictures. And as I showed you earlier, we have VBS in the center. And children who learned or studied in that VBS, we use them to have villages, VBS in the villages. And we had 5 villages we had outside our outreach ministry to other non-compassion coming children. And Christmas is celebrated very much there because that is an occasion to present the gospel to the villages. So this year we had about 800 people coming for this Christmas celebration. So we present them the birth of Jesus Christ, many other stories, and give a gospel message, you know, like birth of Christ. We tell them, you know, why Jesus came into this world, why he was born into this world. So it is an opportunity to present the gospel. He came to redeem us from our sins. And you can see the crowded mob sitting and watching the programs. And children are given, you know, exercise for their body. And not only for the children, we take care of the parents also. Those who are sick, you know, we have medical checkup for children, also for parents. And we give them medicine. And doctors are called from outside. We don't have doctor for the center. So we call the government doctors. They come and check the students and parents. And year before, we had a health camp in our campus. 13 people came from America and they stayed with us for a week. And we called all the village people, the surrounding village people from where our church premises are. And we gave them a grand reception. You can see at the gate all the children and staff came to welcome them. And all were garlanded. And you can see in the left, James came to that, in that group. And also many of them, those who came, they had a special experience when they came to our place. And this is Rosie, Rose, sitting in the clinic. And while these people were waiting to see the doctor, we had, you know, tent outside and people gathered there. So we presented the gospel to these people. And we had 1,200 patients coming to that center in 4 days. And out of that, you know, 100 people made decision for Christ as a result of presenting the gospel. So this is something you could pray for, that those who made decision will continue on for the Lord. And these are some of the praise items: completion and drafting and consultant checking of 95% of the hall be empty. So 95% of the New Testament is over, and we need to pray for the 5% to be completed soon. And the community program, we teach them to read and write. We have sewing classes. And as I mentioned earlier, we are producing health cum post literacy material and child development center. So I would ask you to pray and praise God for all these activities. And you can pray for us that we'll be able to complete the New Testament as planned by 2016. And pray for MTTs, means mother tongue translators. So they will be regular and catch up the vision and proactive in their work. And pray for our health, physical and spiritual, God's guidance and directions in all our various community activities. Pray for especially the Halba believers, about 1,500 of them. They face so many challenges to be Christian. They are ostracized from their community, and Hindus are putting lot of pressure on them to come back. And sometimes they are beaten up. Sometimes they are thrown out of their homes. But still, they are faithful and they stay on for the Lord. And this is our contact address. We have an email, babugrace.thomas@gmail.com. So thank you very much for listening to the presentation and watching it. And thank you for giving me this opportunity. And we have no minutes. So if you have any questions, you know, you can ask me later on when we have the ice cream or whatever. And I'm really thankful to you once again for giving this opportunity. Pray and close. Oh, okay. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. Lord, forgive all our misgivings. Sometimes we go over the boundaries. But Lord, you have set a boundary for us to be safe. We don't want to be enslaved by sin and Satan. But thank you that your word is there to guide us. It is a light and lamp for our lives. So we look to thee for your help and guidance in our lives. And you have a plan and purpose for each one of us. Help us to find your will for us. And wherever we are, we might be able to glorify God through our thoughts, our actions, and whatever we do. Thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. Once again, we want to thank you for this Bible chapel and all the believers here. Pray that you will continue to enable them to be witnesses for you in the community and the people around. Thank you, Father, for hearing to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.